The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we will be live for our next show, October 31st. And you should make your plans to come join us. And October is a fantastic time to be in Cape May. Go to their website, grandhotelcapemay.com. Get all the details about their specials that they're offering and so much more. All right? So it's a wonderful place to be, and we'll be back, like I said, for Halloween. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I'll play the clip for in just a second of what I said this morning regarding Mikey Sherrill. It was a longer interview. It was 8 minutes. It was solo. It was a nice solo panel for a change instead of, I mean, not that I don't enjoy doing the panels with multiple guests. They rate high, but it was nice to be able to actually get a lot of points across without having to worry about only getting to do it in a couple minutes and having to share the screen with somebody. So that was a nice change of pace, I'll tell you that. And hopefully you think I did a good job. If you don't, I don't want to hear it. Anyway, I did want to share this, though, with you. As we're talking about everything and this government shutdown and what could happen here, it's obviously Democrats want to do it. They don't want to work with the Republicans on anything, nothing. So where does all this stand? Well, let's begin with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. This is Cut 13. He talks about there's nothing partisan in this clean CR. Interestingly enough, he's got some support from at least one Democrat. That's John Fetterman. Will John Fetterman go along with the Republicans to not have a government shutdown? And who will people blame if there's a government shutdown? I think the answer is they'll blame Democrats. I don't know if people will really care, but if you're going to ask who they're going to blame, they're going to probably blame the Democrats, because Democrats didn't seem like they want to work with the Republicans on literally anything. This is the Speaker, Cut 13.
There is nothing partisan about this continuing resolution. Nothing. We didn't add a single partisan priority or policy rider at all. We're operating completely in good faith to give more time. The only thing that would gut health care, using his own phraseology there, is if we took Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer's demand here, because they want to cut $50 billion from rural hospitals. That's a new fund that we added in the big, beautiful bill, the working families tax cuts that we passed just a couple months ago. They want to gut that. They also want to hold up all this funding that I listed. I mean, the WIC program is something that we all champion for women, infants, and children nutrition. That would be held up. So it's exactly the opposite of what Hakeem is talking about. The Obamacare subsidies is a policy debate that has to be determined by the end of the year, December 30th, not right now, while we're simply trying to keep the government open so we can have all these debates.
We don't want a government shutdown, the vice president said this morning to Fox News. But, you know, it's really up to the Democrats. So my sense of it is that the Democrats would love to see a shutdown. If they can contribute anything, it would be just trying to stop things. That's it. That's their contribution. Just stopping things. I know that sounds crazy. How is that a contribution? How is just stopping something a contribution? But again, they're stopping the fascist. They're stopping Hitler. They're stopping fascist Hitler and all of his government takeovers. They're stopping the National Guard from going into a city near you and cracking down on crime. I really do think this is how these people think about this. I know it sounds insane, but then again, we're dealing with insane people right now. Here's the vice president on Fox this morning, Cut 14.
This government shutdown issue looming next week. How do you see this? And are you opposed to a shutdown, or do you think there would be advantages to that potentially?
Well, look, we don't want to shut down the government, Martha, but it's really up to the Democrats. Under our system, you need 60 Senate Democrats to vote for the clean continuing resolution that the President and House Republicans have put forward. I think it's preposterous, Martha, and I think the American people really should pay attention to the fact that Democrats are threatening to shut down the entire government because they want to give hundreds of billions of dollars of health care benefits to illegal aliens. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a political party actually advertising the fact that they want to shut down every essential function of government, and they want to use that as leverage so that they get more money for illegal alien health care benefits. It's such a stark contrast between Republicans who are trying to put the interests of the American people first and Democrats who I think would want to take money from the American people to give benefits to illegal aliens. We don't want to shut down the government, but if Democrats refuse to just pass this clean continuing resolution, that's exactly what's going to happen, and I think the Democrats are going to bear the responsibility for it.
I mean, the ones who should be angry would be conservatives, really, if you think about it. Because we keep getting promised that we're going to get more cuts, and we're going to, you know, once we got past the One Big Beautiful Bill, we were going to get some more cuts, and we were going to get the Doge cuts, and we're not doing that. We're just trying to keep things going. So the ones who should be upset, theoretically speaking, would be fiscal conservatives. But it's not. The Democrats, in other words, are not blocking things because they feel like, well, hey, we were promised cuts. We were promised that Doge cuts were going to become permanent. We were promised smaller government. We were promised that if we just did the One Big Beautiful Bill, we'd come back and do these things later. We were promised these things. No. What they want to do is they want to go back to their base. They want to go back to their town halls, and they want to tell everybody, we stopped it. We shut it down. So then those National Guard troops can't go into your cities. And now they still can, of course. This is theater. It's political theater. It's what they're doing. So will John Fetterman go along with it? He was on with Maria Bartiromo today. Said a number of interesting things. This is cut number 9 from his interview earlier this morning. Will Pennsylvania's Senator John Fetterman go along with this? Take a listen.
Well, let me move on to the potential shutdown. You just heard what Speaker Mike Johnson said. There is an emergency meeting tomorrow at the White House. The GOP got their $150 billion in Department of War defense money and ICE deportation funding in the big, beautiful bill. But the Democrats want this Affordable Care Act money. Where are you on this issue? And do you expect a government shutdown Tuesday night?
Where I'm at, where I've always been, and I will always remain on, is it is always, always wrong to shut our government down. That is a core responsibility. I'm always going to vote against those things. And if it's the Republican side or now it's our side, I'm going to condemn it as well, too, especially with the kinds of chaos that we are facing after Kirk. And now there is a Cat 5 storm that might hit our nation, too. Now, and you're willing to threaten our down. I was the only Democrat voting against that. And now that CR was the same CR from the Biden administration as well, too.
Right.
For me, I'm a big believer of if you want to change the policies, win elections. And that's really the way democracy works. And I didn't vote for the big, beautiful bill. And I do think health care, you know, could be a solution. But I don't think shutting our government down is the wrong thing. And that's why I think it's the wrong time, certainly at this point.
What he's saying is I think it's wrong to shut down the government. He, you know, still has some of his issues with his speech and his stroke, but he doesn't want to see the government shut down. That's what he's saying. He doesn't want to see it. But again, this could be his body double, because to Chris Eppolito's point, he's not wearing hoodies. Anyway, it's bad business to shut the government down. You know what I mean? If you are a Democrat and you're John Fetterman, because you have to run in a state that Trump crushed it in, and that's Pennsylvania. And people voted for Trump, and you have to run again before you know it. But at the same time, Democrats outside of Pennsylvania, in other places, they want to be the resistance heading into midterms. The only ones who have to worry are Democrats who are in swing districts. Democrats who are in districts that could potentially go to a Republican. There's only a dozen of those. And in terms of senators, there's basically a couple. He's one of them. But how many of them are up in 26? I mean, this is all about town hall meetings. So they can get to the microphone and say, I stopped Trump. There was a time when Democrats were staunchly opposed to the kind of things they're now demanding, which is paying health care benefits to illegal immigrants. There was a time they were completely opposed to these things. There's a clip going around of Hillary Clinton saying how she was opposed to it in the 1990s. In the 1990s, Democrats sounded like a completely different party. Oh, wait, they kind of were. Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, talking about they're committed to keeping the government open. Again, if there's anyone who should be upset by this, it would be you as a conservative who is hoping that by now we would have more cuts. And we may never get more cuts. It may never happen. Certainly not before midterms. It may just keep kicking the can down the road. And if that upsets you, I understand. But we're not. But then again, at the same time, that's not why Democrats are doing this. They're not doing this out of a commitment to fiscal responsibility. This is cut number 10. This is the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt from earlier this morning. Take a listen.
Let me be very clear about the president and the White House's position. All we are asking for is a common sense, clean funding resolution, a continuing resolution to keep the government open. This is a bill that keeps the government funded at the exact same levels as today, just adjusted for inflation. So there is zero good reason for the Democrats to vote against this, especially when the Democrats have voted for this 13 previous times as recently as March. And so this is the reasonable and common sense thing to do. The president is giving Democrat leadership one last chance to be reasonable, to come to the White House today to try to talk about this. And now is not the time to try to get political points against Donald Trump. Now is the time to do right by the American people and keep the government funded. Our most vulnerable in our society and our country will be impacted by a government shutdown. Everybody knows this, and that's why Republicans and the president want to keep the government open, and we welcome Democrats to join us in that effort.
Well, you can welcome them, and you should, but they're not going to join you, because that's the thing. They don't want to join you, because they think we're all a bunch of fascists. I know it's crazy times we live in. It really is. It's crazy, crazy times right now. But I guess if the government does shut down, I mean, we'll be fine. We'll deal with it. I just think it's funny how it's just literally about kicking the can down the road and the Democrats are just opposed to that. You know what I mean? It's all this comes down to. It's not that complicated. It really isn't. It's not as if you should go deeper into this and try to figure out more. Like, well, what is it really about? By the way, John Fetterman with Maria Bartiromo today was asked a question. Will he change parties? Will he switch parties? And would he ever become a Republican? Now, before I play this, I just want to remind you, John Fetterman still votes like a Democrat, still caucuses with the Democrats, still helps the Democrats. So the answer to that is no. But anyway, this is what he said to Maria Bartiromo. Take a listen.
Look, we know that there's been real extremists who have tried to hijack the Democrat Party, and whether it's policy or the way they talk. And look, you've seen it on the right at some case, in some cases as well, all the way. But I mean, on the left, you've got such extremes. Would you consider switching parties?
No, I'm not going to switch, you know, but I'm just going to be an independent voice in the Democratic Party. I'm not going to be afraid if people, I mean, and if there are groups attacking a Democrat, you know, the last one in Pennsylvania, then that's, to me, that's part of the problem, you know, in our party. And if you want a Democrat that's going to call people Nazis or fascists or all these kinds of things, well, I'm not going to be that guy. You know, independent thinking and views wherever that I happen to believe the truth, regardless if it's the Republican or the Democratic voice, you know, what I think is the truth in this. Now, in this truth right now, it's firmly on Israel through this. And it's also, it's always wrong to shut our government down. And that's where my voice is. And if that puts me as an outlier, and you know, that's where I am.
Now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez responding to that. I played this earlier. We're going to play it again. Cut number 8. On the question of what do you think about what John Fetterman said, stop calling Trump supporters Nazis. Stop using this kind of over-the-top rhetoric. Stop saying they're fascists. What does Representative AOC think about that? Cut number 8.
Do you mind if I ask you about what John Fetterman is saying? He's saying that Democrats should not be comparing any more Republicans or Trump supporters to Nazis or Adolf Hitler. What do you think about that after Charlie Kirk shooting?
You know, I think he's entitled to his opinion.
He's entitled to his opinion, meaning I don't agree with him, meaning I'm going to keep calling them Nazis and fascists. Okay? That's what that means. That's what that means from Sandy from Yorktown Heights. I'm going to keep calling them fascists and Nazis. And we're not going to stop the rhetoric. No, we're not. She's the party now. They are the party now. Fetterman is hanging on in the wings, trying to just maintain some semblance of, look at me, I'm the reasonable Democrat in the room. Imagine how maddening it is. But he can't leave because he would never survive the scrutiny of being a Republican, so he's just stuck. He's just stuck where he is. It's a terrible place to be. 855-839-1210 if you would like to weigh in today and everything we are discussing. As far as the rhetoric goes, I would just say this. The constant F word, N word, and all the other things that we talk about, a lot of this has to do with the fact that we're now at a time where you have this hyperbolic, over-the-top reaction to everything except somebody like Charlie Kirk getting assassinated, in which case then you hear nothing. And I'm talking about the left, who never shuts up about anything. Now they're going after J.K. Rowling about something else. Emma Watson, who played a character in Harry Potter, is going on about gender ideology and blah, blah, blah. It's like they never shut up. You notice that? They have an opinion on everything. Every award show, everything. They've got something to say. They grandstand. They sing songs about it. They make commercials about it. You can't get these people to shut up for 2 seconds about anything. Anything. Charlie Kirk assassinated, though, and nothing. And to his credit, Bill Maher called them out for that hypocrisy at the Emmys. They had the Emmys, and let's cube cut number 6. And he talks about this. You know, he says the Emmys, and this is with Alex Wagner, who's now MSNBC, Pod Save America. You have these award shows, and they get up there, and they give speeches, and they use their time to call out whoever the Republican is. Everything regarding, I want to thank, you know, it's not just I want to thank the Academy. It's I want to thank the Academy and Trump's Hitler, or I want to thank the Academy, and we got to save the climate. I want to save the Academy, and boys could be girls, whatever it is. So have the Emmys, have the big award show after Charlie Kirk's assassination. Not a word. From the people that never shut the hell up about anything. And good for him for pointing that out, because I didn't make the connection, because I don't watch the Emmys. I have no interest in those award shows. Quite frankly, I find them to be pretentious and over the top and boring, and I don't care. I don't care what awards people get. Unless it's me getting the award, I don't care. But here's Bill Maher. Cut number 6.
At the Emmys, would it have killed someone to get up there, since they all want to talk about their politics? Would it killed somebody to get up there, not give a speech about how much they like Charlie Kirk, just to say, we had a political assassination this week, and that's wrong, and we should, they would have been booed off the stage because he was on the wrong team. So you're not even allowed to say that. Can you imagine if a left-wing person was assassinated that week? The whole show would have been about that. Is that not true? Can't you admit that?
I think this needs, that Charlie Kirk assassination needs to be reframed as an issue of how our democracy actually functions and survives. We cannot be assassinating people who are different from us, who believe different things, full stop. Charlie Kirk's assassination is as bad for Democrats as it should be for as it is for Republicans. It is not okay. Right. Okay?
Yeah.
And like everybody needs to get on that same page.
Okay, yeah, right. But that's his point, though, is nobody said that at the Emmys. Nobody said that. No pretentious actor stood up, got a trophy, and said, I'd just like to take a moment and say, we shouldn't be killing each other over politics. That's exactly his point. And if it had been a lefty political leader who was assassinated, we would have had a week of mourning. They all had been wearing black mourning badges. They probably would have not even, the theaters would have been dark. I mean, I would never want this to happen, but if their equivalent of Charlie Kirk, and I have no idea who the hell that is, and I don't really care, but if their equivalent of Charlie Kirk, if they have one, were to be gunned down, God forbid, that's what it would be like. If somebody on the left of that magnitude was assassinated for speaking about his politics, those Emmy actors would have, each one of them, gotten to the podium, tears in their eyes about what kind of a country we are becoming, where we kill our enemies in the streets, and these should not be our enemies, and this is not who we are, and theaters would have gone dark, and it would have been a sea of black mourning outfits. The way the old Italian ladies used to mourn for 52 years after they lost their husband. No, really. I had an aunt who lost her husband, I think, when she was in her 40s. And she wore black until she died at 95 years old. So it would have been the equivalent of that. That's how the old Italian ladies used to do it. They never remarried. They wore black and just a veil for the rest of their lives, pretty much. Pretty much how it happened. Just saying. But Charlie Kirk, not a word at the Emmys. So that's his point. Like, would it have killed you? Like, would it have killed you just to say something? But it's not even just that he was on the other side. He was a leader on the other side. He was a leader on the other side at a time who was winning young people over to their way of thinking. You have that Hillary clip. Okay, so yeah, one of the holdups is illegal benefits for illegal immigrants. This is Hillary from the mid-90s, Matt, or is it mid-aughts? I forget.
I couldn't get an exact date. I asked ChatGPT, it guessed 1993, but I can't confirm that.
Okay.
It's old, all right, though. I can tell you it's old.
It's old. It's old. She looks old, and she looked old in the clip, I'm saying, you know what I mean? So, all right, take a listen.
As to illegal aliens, we agree with you that we do not think the comprehensive health care benefits should be extended to those who are undocumented workers and illegal aliens. We do not want to do anything to encourage more illegal immigration into this country. We know now that too many people come in for medical care as it is. We certainly don't want them having the same benefits that American citizens are entitled to have.
Yeah, well, that was when she was working on Hillary Care back then. That's when she was working on Hillary Care. Here's Ilhan Omar. She has nothing to apologize for with regards to Charlie Kirk, even though she said horrible things about him, lied about who he was, completely lied about his stance on women, on black Americans, on all kinds of things, accused him of being a hateful bigot, completely distorted his record, lied, but this is what she said.
I have nothing to apologize for. You know, it is a tragedy that Charlie Kirk was killed in that way. I feel for his widow and his children. They will have to live with that for the rest of their lives. But there is no legacy to honor. It was a legacy filled with bigotry, hatred, and white supremacy. Mm-hmm. And as a black woman and as a Muslim in this country, I refuse to join the chorus that changes the history of what is on the record from this man. And so, you know, Nancy Mace, the president, like, whatever, these crazy people can do whatever they want to do. Yeah. But I am not going to be bullied into complacency, into, you know, dishonoring who I am and what I stand for just to, you know, make them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
It's not going to.
There's no way Somalia would ever take her back. I'm just saying. No friggin' way. No chance. If Trump deported her ass to Somalia tomorrow, they'd be like, no, sorry, you take her back. We're not letting you land the plane here. If it starts World War III with you, that's fine. We're not taking her back, bottom line. All right, a new poll out today from our buddy Matt Rooney at Save Jersey, their first poll. What does it show for Jack Cittarelli? What does it show for this race? How close is Jack to the finish line? We'll talk about it straight ahead. Don't go away.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
How are we looking for Jersey? That's the question. As we continue along the show here, the big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental, with two locations. Dr. Mike is the guy who'll give you the smile of your dreams. And there's a lot to smile about these days. So get your free implant consultation by going to VeneriaDental.com. Dr. Mike Veneria, my dentist and my friend. My other friend here to talk about the poll today, their first poll from SaveJersey.com, is Matt Rooney, host of The Matt Rooney Show right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPH. And, of course, the guy behind Save Jersey. And he'll be at the rally with us. He's helping organize it October 10th in North Wildwood. Rooney, what's up, buddy?
Dealing with the fallout of our poll, man. I didn't realize how many people on the left we were going to tweak by putting this thing out. They really don't like to hear that it's as close as it is. But we're just telling them the time of day.
Yeah. Listen, I said this morning, I think this is exactly where you want to be if you're a Republican running in New Jersey heading into October. I mean, you can't ask for a better place than this.
Yeah, I think that's right. Jack is at 45% in this survey that we did in conjunction with Valcor. She's at 47, which with a margin of error, almost 3 points, that's a toss up. You know, mm-hmm. Jack could be up a little. She could be up a little. And to your point, Rich, this poll is not only pretty strong for a Republican for late September. None of the Naval Academy cheating scandal is reflected in this survey. We came out of the field the day before it broke and made national news. I know you were talking about it on Fox News today. None of that is in here. So this is nightmare fuel for the Cheryl folks. They are in full panic mode, according to our sources on the other side of the aisle. And they should be, because Jack's got all the room to grow in this survey. And she's running out of opportunities very quickly to change the conversation. She's now the one that needs to.
Yeah, she's on the defense right now. No question about it. All right, and I think, you know, her campaign is in free fall mode. She's a bad candidate. I don't think they realize how bad she is. You know, it's one thing to run for a congressional district. It's another thing to run statewide. You run statewide, and it shows your colors. Jack's already run statewide, so we know he's tested and can handle it. This is her first crack at this. It's why in New Jersey, many times the second time is the charm, because you get exposed in not one but two major media markets, and it's very, that's very right, easy for you to flame out, as she's flaming out now heading into October. But she's still a Democrat in a state that outranks, you know, outnumbers Republicans by 800,000. So it's not all over for her, and we have to be realistic about that. We have to get Republicans out, obviously. When you did your poll, you looked at a couple of demographic factors. So let me ask you a couple questions. How is Jack Cittarelli performing right now among Latino voters?
Oh, so that's one of the more intriguing things about this survey. If you look at the Hispanic vote, he's got an actual lead here, Rich, wow. An outright majority at the moment, which I've had a few people say to me, Matt, are you so sure about that? Look, it's a poll, right? I'm not a mainstream outlet. I'm not here to tell you that this is anything other than what it is, which is a snapshot in time. But Chris Christie cracked 50% with Hispanic voters back in 2013. And we know that in recent years, during the Trump era, the Hispanic vote has moved in the Republican direction. There's a realignment underway. So, you know, we had it at 56% in our poll. Am I going to sit here and bet Rich the only money that it's going to be 56% on election day? I'm not ready to do that. But every single reliable pollster I talk to is seeing something similar. So there's clearly something happening beneath the surface. And that's why in our poll, we also found Jack getting about 30% of the vote in New Jersey's urban core, which is stunning. If he's able to replicate that on Election Day, she's going to have a really hard time catching up.
Now, Trump did incredibly well with Latino voters. He won a county up in North Jersey, Passaic County, which has been a blue county. He won a congressional district that includes the city of Patterson. So it's not out of the realm to see this trend continuing. I think Latino voters, like all Americans, have just had it with crime. But, you know, they happen to, for many of them, to live in cities run by blue Democrats who have been soft on crime and pro cash bail and all the other nonsense. So there's a reason why maybe they've reached a fever pitch. How is Jack doing with black voters? And I guess I should flip the question around and say, since he's been going to black churches, since he's been taking the fight directly to that, how much gap does Mikey Sherrill need to make up to overcome what hurdles she may have?
So he's at 21% with the black vote in our survey, which for anyone who is at all familiar with the demographics of elections in this country, that's a pretty good number for a Republican. And I think it does reflect all the work that Jack has been putting in, showing up in Hudson County, Essex County, places Republicans are usually afraid to go. Also, very strong school choice message, which we know resonates with urban voters. If you are a white, relatively affluent Karen lady like Mikey Sherrill that lives in a place like Montclair, you can either afford to send your kids to very expensive schools, or you can have some kind of guarantee that they're going to be in a school district where they don't really have to worry about getting shot or attacked by a drug dealer on the way in the morning or on the way home in the afternoon, right? You can't say that in many parts of New Jersey. These kids are getting left behind. So surprise, surprise, a candidate who's not running on much substance anyway, Mikey Sherrill, just does not appear to be appealing to non-white voters in New Jersey in a way the Democrats did years ago. So it's definitely devastating news for her in this survey. It's one of the reasons why she's increasingly running ads on urban radio. She's putting out some new Hispanic language ads because she knows she's got a real problem.
Oh, she got killed in that interview she had with Charlamagne the God when he asked her about her stock trades. And still, I mean, goes down as one of the worst answers ever until she said she would, you know, she wouldn't rule out raising the sales tax. So, I mean, that haunts her. And the fact that Charlamagne the God asked her that question, and she said, I don't trade individual stocks. I mean, it was a horrible moment for her campaign. And then there's
the issue. That, Rich, just for a second,
yeah,
it's
go
really
for it.
Crazy
yeah.
to me. So she completely flubbed that answer. Months go by. She's asked a similar question in the debate. Still not ready for it.
Yep.
Folks, that is the mark of somebody that either really doesn't care about doing a good job, so she didn't bother to prep months after she should have been ready for that question, or someone who, well, maybe they needed to cheat to get through the Naval Academy. Maybe they couldn't.
Yeah.
Maybe they couldn't pass their exam straight up. Right. Either way, not exactly someone that I want to see serve as governor of the state of New Jersey.
Yeah. I mean, did she cheat or did she cover for her classmates? The story changed this weekend, Matt Rooney. On Friday, it was I didn't want to be a snitch, and then over the weekend, it was I may have gotten a practice exam and taken the exam thinking it was a practice exam. Which is it?
That's right. Yeah, I'm not sure she knows. We've all experienced liars in our lives, folks, right? Somebody who just is compulsive with their inability to tell the truth. And what happens with someone who has that personality is eventually they're not really sure what the truth is. It becomes blurred in their own mind. And I really do think that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with somebody who is ambitious, but she's more ambitious than she is intelligent. And now she's just going to say absolutely anything she can to avoid having to disclose these records, which I think we can say now pretty definitively, they must read pretty poorly if she wouldn't just release them. Because, I mean, it'd be a great way to shut up Rich Zeoli, Matt Rooney, everyone else who's talking about it. Just show it to them. If they're not that bad, then the controversy's over. But she can't do it because I have a feeling they're a horror show.
Well, she got a gift, and the gift is that somebody at the National Archives released her military record, and now people in the media are confused, thinking that it's all one and the same, and it's not. And this is right. What I had to explain this morning is that they're two separate things. And her academic slash disciplinary records from the Naval Academy have not been released. The story that was written by David Wildstein at the NJ Globe was not based on anything released by the archives. And the only one who can release her academic records is Mikey Sherrill. So why isn't she? But the gift she's gotten is that a lot of people in the media are lazy and they're confused, and they quickly ran with her spin, which is, oh, Trump has weaponized the archives to release this military file against me and my hardworking military service. And this has nothing to do with her military service whatsoever.
Yeah, no, that's right. And look, the core problem that she has here, Rich, is that she's run on no substance. Her entire campaign has been biography. I keep jokingly referring to her as the mother of four helicopters, because every other word out of her mouth is, I'm a mother of four, and by the way, I used to fly a helicopter. Which, look, I mean, God bless, right? I mean,
sure,
if she served her country and flew helicopters, good for her. But that is not a governor. We need a little bit more meat on the bones there to know that you've got the chops to lead one of the most populous, one of the most complex states in the union. So when you run that kind of campaign, and then all of a sudden the only pillar that is holding up that campaign is pulled out from under you, her profile as a helicopter pilot, her history as somebody that graduated from the academy, went into the Navy, you're really up the creek without a paddle, or you're flying a helicopter that's missing a couple blades, and that's where she finds herself today. So I don't think it's going to work for her, the fact that they're running cover for her, Rich, because we're all talking about it.
Yeah.
And as her story continues to change, I think the victim routine that she's playing to try to escape the consequences of her actions is just drawing more attention to it. I mean, she was best off when she was lying about Jack Cittarelli wanting to raise taxes, which was nonsense, but it was a lie that some people were willing to believe. This is not the discussion she wanted to be having heading into October.
So, Matt Rooney, as you did your poll today for Save Jersey, as the poll was released today, I should say, and we have our rally coming up October 10th, which I'd love for people to come and join us, and we're going to be doing the show live that day. Got a lot of great speakers, including Scott Pressler and Cliff Maloney, and more to be announced, and you'll be speaking, I'll be speaking, we'll have a great time, Jack will be there. October 10th, you got to go to capegop.com, capegop.com to register, and you have to register, and it's free. Republican turnout. So as I was looking at the map today of New Jersey, and I kept thinking about something that you broke down in your poll, which is you kind of broke down New Jersey into quadrants, and you talked about the coast. From Monmouth County, Ocean County, Atlantic County, Cape May County, all these counties, which we know underperformed in 2021.
Yeah.
We need them to overperform in 2025 if Jack's going to win. Because, yeah, it's one thing to say she's a crappy candidate. Murphy was a crappy candidate. It's one thing to say her policies are disastrous. Murphy was, his policies were the worst we've seen in probably the state's history. But we still didn't get Republicans out to vote. So what's going to be different this time around, getting all the people along the coast out to vote and in those Republican strongholds out to vote? And then, of course, what's going to keep some of those Democrats from showing up in the key areas?
I think we've learned our lesson to some degree, and you saw a little bit of that last year in 2024. One of the reasons New Jersey was so close, I mean, remember, Trump only lost New Jersey by about 5.9%. That was the closest presidential race in New Jersey since 1992. We finally started banking our votes. We finally started voting early. And, you know, I don't want to have this argument with anybody. If you prefer to vote by mail, awesome. If you want to show up and vote early in person, knock your socks off. What matters is that you do it. The fact that Republicans are starting to embrace that sort of voting, as of yesterday, I haven't checked it today, Rich, we're doing about 9 or 10 points better against the Democrats in early vote by mail returns. That's huge. The okay, less good. Of a margin Democrats come out of early voting with, we all know, is a benefit. You also mentioned a minute ago our boy Cliff Maloney, formerly the PA chase. Well, he's still doing the PA chase. I don't want to say formerly, but now he's doing a New Jersey chase, which we love. There's infrastructure that he and some other great folks are providing. Scott's doing some great work, Scott Pressler, that we've just never had in another election cycle. So I think that you have an attitude adjustment among base voters. I think you've got some of the greatest ballot chasers in the business here helping turn out low propensity Republicans. I think Charlie Kirk plays a role here too.
I do too.
Charlie Kirk was a reminder for all of us that this is a zero-sum game, unfortunately. We want to fight with ballots. Increasingly, the other side wants to fight with bullets. That sucks. There's no other way to say it. But that means we have to win. Because if we don't win, we're going to a very dark place. And it reminds us all that you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Jack's a solid conservative. He supports President Trump. Get over your feelings from the primary. You got to show up. You got to turn out. And I'm definitely seeing that attitude change as well. So for all those reasons, we should be optimistic, but we have to lean in. You got to drag your friends and neighbors and family to the polls. This is it. This is the year we either turn New Jersey around or we all start looking for property down in Florida.
Yeah, and we also give momentum to either party going into the midterms, no doubt about it. So what, did your poll at SaveJersey.com look into the key issues that are driving people in this election?
Oh, 100%. And I think that was some of the most fascinating data to come out of the survey, because remember, this survey has Jack Ciattarelli behind by 2, which is statistically insignificant, but it's not like we have him up 10 points. You would think he would be when you dig into the direct ballot questions. Like, for example, who's likely to do a better job on property taxes? Jack wins that argument by about 7 points. Mm-hmm. Utility rates, similar margin. Crime, 46% to 33%. You got to wonder whether those 33% that are saying Cheryl will be better with crime, I don't know, maybe they have personal security. Maybe they can afford it. Good for them. Shaking up Trenton, 44% Republican, 28% Democrat. So all of the things that we hear our neighbors concerned about, talking about, worried about as they look at the trajectory of our state, which, by the way, only 25% of those polled think New Jersey's on the right track. All of that favors Jack Ciattarelli. So this is one of the major reasons, Rich, why even though he's technically behind in this survey, he's in such a good position, because a strong majority of the New Jerseyans who are going to go vote agree with you. You just have to get to them. You have to turn them out. You have to remind them that you're the one that shares your priorities on those issues. If it wasn't for that 850,000 statewide voter registration edge for Democrats you mentioned at the beginning of the segment, I think he'd be up 10.
What about Trump's effect on this race? Because I happen to think that Donald Trump coming to New Jersey would energize MAGA voters who tend to just vote for him, and it would help Jack in a big, big way. Of course, there's the argument that it would just remind, I don't know, the suburban Karens driving their Subarus that, you know, Jack is a Republican. But I kind of feel like they're getting that message anyway. That's all Mikey Sherrill's been running on, is that he's Trump. So I just see a positive if Trump were to say either call into our rally or mysteriously show up at our rally. I just think it helps energize the base. Look, Jack lost by less than 80,000 votes and 400,000 Republicans stayed home. So if 100,000 of those Republicans show up, I mean, he wins.
No, it's simple mathematics. And by the way, President Trump or any of your folks, if they are listening to this program, which there's a pretty good chance they listen to Rich Zeoli's show, you are definitely more than welcome to join us in North Wildwood on October
10th. You don't even have to register, Mr. President. You can just show up.
Absolutely. The first cheesesteak's on you, me, and Mike Donahue. We will take care of it. We asked the question specifically, Rich, is it more important to have a governor that will work with President Trump or work to oppose him? 47% said work with, 44% oppose. So what does that tell me? That tells me that the president, even though his approval in this survey was upside down, it's a net positive for President Trump to be involved in ginning up the base, this new coalition, which he's played a central role in help building. And even among some people that just don't like Donald Trump, and not because of anything he's doing wrong, but they're just never really going to like the cut of his jib. Even those people have a different attitude than they had in 21. Back then, it was almost kind of visceral. Some of that's probably because of, you know, the memories of COVID and some other things that happened. Today, even some of those people just want somebody that's going to work constructively with Washington to try to make our lives a little bit better, cheaper, and freer.
So I mean,
one of the key findings of the survey, and I think if he came here, it'd be a huge net positive for Jack.
Well, that's good to know, because I think, you know, if you look at her congressional district as a great example, you've got that kind of country club Republican that probably doesn't love Trump, but certainly would rather have him than another 4 years of Democrats running the place. So it's not like those kind of Republicans or those kind of voters are going to turn around and go, oh, my God, you mean the guy that endorsed Jack is now backing Jack in the general, so I'm going to vote for a Democrat? I think it only helps him. I think it only generates enthusiasm. And you know, I hope he gets more involved. I really do.
Yeah, I think that there's a decent chance. You know, October is upon us. It's the end game. Early in-person voting begins October 25th. I've got no inside information, but I would not be shocked to see some higher-level surrogates for Jack Cittarelli coming through over the course of the next month. I mean, you nailed it a minute ago. This isn't just about New Jersey, even though that's what's dear to our hearts. This is about the midterms as well. If we drop this race in New Jersey, that blue wave narrative is going to build. If Democrats fumble here and the Garden State officially becomes purple, which we all believe that it is, I mean, imagine the freak out you're going to see on MSNBC, CNN, from the New York Times and the Star Ledger. It's almost worth it, folks, just for that. So this is a race of critical importance, and I think increasingly national Republicans are starting to get that.
Well said, my friend. Check out the full poll at SaveJersey.com. Sign up for our rally on October 10th at CapeGOP.com and tune in to the Matt Rooney Show. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it as always.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.